Turn this morning in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew, chapter 28. This is a familiar passage of Scripture, but one of the most important passages for us Christian people. Matthew 28. This and these verses are instructing us as God's people what we're to do after we've been saved. Jesus said to his disciples, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," beginning at verse 19, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. That's known as the Great Commission. It's given to every person that's a believer in Jesus Christ. It is our job to help get out the gospel, share the gospel. I'm going to talk about Christianity today. Loving God, speak to our hearts from this passage. Challenge our hearts that we're to be missionary minded in sharing the gospel with those that are lost and need the salvation of the Lord. Amen. There are many religions in the world. You know how many religions there are in the world? It's estimated there's about 4,200 religions. I want you to think about that a minute. 4,200 religions. Each of these religions has their own kind of teachings about morality, their doctrines, their laws, their lifestyles. 4,200 different religions. By nature, man is a religious person. He's going to worship something. You're going to worship something. What's the first of the Ten Commandments? "Thou shalt have no other God before me." That little boy at the back took up his hand. He knew. Amen. Give him a big hand. Amen, brother. He's a listening back there. Yes. We're not to have any other God. You know, some people's car is their God. Some people's house is their God. Some people's job is their God. Most anything can be a person's God. But God said, "Don't have no other God before me." Because there's not but one real living God. And he's the eternal God, our Creator. And he wants us to know him, love him, and serve him, and obey him. And when we don't obey him, we're going to have problems. We're going to have problems. Man's religion have different behaviors. We have different hierarchies. We have what constitutes a member in the different religions, what you got to do to be a member and all this kind of stuff. And each one of these different religions in the world, each one's different. The practice of religion may include sermons, sacrifices, festivals, feasts, trances, rituals, rites, ceremonies. All these kind of things and others are involved with different religions. But no religion, and get this is important, no religion can save you. No religion in and of itself provides salvation for any person. And yet there's 4,200 at least, it is estimated. Man is worshiping in something, and yet none of them will bring eternal life. Keeping rules and regulations will not get people saved or provide salvation. Even the Old Testament, the one religion and the only religion God ever approved of was Judaism. But it never saved one person. Not even one. It wasn't designed to save anybody. It was designed to show people how sinful they were. And they needed a Savior. So keeping rules and regulations does not remove sin. One religion is just as good as another. Pick out either one of these 4,200, and one is good as another as far as religion is concerned. But you don't need a religion. That's the good news. You don't need religion. What you need is Jesus Christ. Every person needs Jesus Christ. And it's so sad, so few people know Jesus Christ. So few. And I'm going to show you that in just a minute or two. People everywhere want to go to a better place if there's another place, some of them think about. If you die, if there's another place. Well, there is another place. Jesus paid for our sins. He's who you need. Jesus Christ Himself is the Savior of the world, God said. The Savior of the world. If the world would accept Him. Have you accepted Him, really? There's a lot of people meeting this very hour today that are in churches, but they haven't really been saved. Have you been saved? You really know you're saved? You're not saved by anything you do. The Bible says you're saved by faith. Faith in Jesus alone. It's Jesus that paid for sin. Jesus Christ, may I tell you today, is not a religion. He's a person. He was a person just like us, except He was sinless. His Father was God. Jesus Christ Himself was actually God Himself. That's amazing. To think about the eternal God through the incarnation became a man. Just like me and you. He didn't look any different from anybody else when He walked among men. But He was God Almighty Himself. That makes me shudder to think about it. That the God that could make this world out of nothing could look like us and walk among men. And He did for 33 and a half years. Jesus Christ came into our world because of our sin. Our sin was so awful. Our sin is so disgusting to God that He Himself came to get rid of it. Nothing else would get rid of it. And it's fact, I've said this before, nobody wants to get rid of their sin unless they hear this. Everybody's satisfied to be a sinner unless they hear this. That's when the Holy Spirit will start dealing with the heart to convict, to make you realize you need forgiveness and salvation. I want you to think about this. One person, their sin condemned the entire human family. One person's sin condemned the entire human family. Billions upon billions upon billions of people have been in this world, and every one of them has been just alike, a sinner. And every one of them's going to do the same thing, die. The only exception is one other person came and never sinned. He lived 33 and a half years here, and he lived a righteous life. And because he lived a righteous life, he paid for the sin of the man that sinned and all of his descendants. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came and by his righteous life and death on the cross paid for the sins of the first man and all of his descendants down through the ages. The Bible says in Romans 5 and 17, I love this, for by one man's offense, death reigned by all. Because Adam died, Adam sinned, and he died, and death passed to every person. Did you know what you do wrong affects other people too? What Adam did wrong affected us. When you and I do wrong, it affects other people. The Bible goes on and says, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, came, and because he lived a victorious life, a sinless life, and pleased God, when he died on the cross, he was paying for man's sin, because God's law is the wages of sin is death. And Jesus on the cross, our sin was transferred from us to him. And God judged him so we wouldn't be judged. That's called the grace of God. Jesus tells us what true religion is in James chapter 1 and verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless, the widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's religion. But there's no salvation in that. Salvation is only in the person of Jesus Christ, folks. The world needs Jesus Christ today. Amen. And yet the world's got 4,200 religions. And they're all lost. Lost. Christianity is one of the 4,200 religions. You can go under the umbrella of Christianity and be as lost as hell. Here's five of the largest religions in the world. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this. Five of the largest religions in the world today, of the 4,200. Christianity is the largest. Praise God. Amen. But that's only 31.5% of all the people in the world. There's about 7.3 or 7.4 billion people in the world right now, and only 31.5% go under the umbrella of Christianity. Now, just think about that figure, 31.5% out of 7.3 or 4 billion people. Look at all the people then that leaves lost, going to eternal destruction. There's a lot of people who need Jesus today, folks. There's a lot of people who need salvation. That's the reason we need to support more missionaries. It's why we need to witness. It's why we need to preach. It's why we need to be faithful. It's why we need to pray. There's worlds of people lost today. And yet look how radio's going out, internet's going out, and the gospel is going everywhere, and still all these people are lost, folks. The devil's a busy fella, ain't he? The Bible says he deceives the whole world. Well, you see it now, don't you? The second largest religion is Islam. We could probably guess that one, right? With 23.2%. Well, that's right much lower than Christianity, praise God. 23.2% of the world's population is in Islam. Well, think about it this way about them. Every single one of them's on the way to hell. Lost as a bat, folks. Believing in Allah is no salvation. Allah has not died for their sins. Allah don't even have a Savior for His own. So we have a lot of folks lost in Islam today. And it's trying to get a foothold in our country, and it really has got more than we might think it has. Now there's another group of people that go under religion, because as I said earlier, everybody's got religion of some nature. But there's the unaffiliated. That means they're not identified with anything. They just don't believe nothing about any kind of religion. That's like atheist people of that nature. People that's indifferent. I don't need that. I'll do my thing. I'll do what I want to do. Well, that makes up 16.3% of the world's population. 16.3%. That's a lot of people to be lost to, isn't it? Think about what if it would happen right now, the rapture would take place with all these people that's lost. You see what a small minority we are, folks, of Christian people in the world today? Is there any wonder the world's in the shape it's in today? With so much wickedness and evil and no need for God in people's lives today, is any wonder the world's in the shape it's in? Then there is Hinduism. That's a big religion. 15% of the world's population is with the Hindu religion. That's another group of 15% of people lost. No hope. No hope. They don't know that, but they have no hope. They believe in their religion. Then there's Buddhism, 7.1%. of the world's population. It follows after Buddha. Another religion deceiving people out of their very soul. You know who's behind all this, folks? The devil himself. The devil himself is deceiving people with these different religions. And what's so sad? People are satisfied. They're satisfied to believe what they believe. We even hear people remark today, one church is as good as another. That's another big lie. Another big lie. There's a total of 61.6 of these that we've just discussed, of the people in the world, 61.6, that's without any salvation. That's nearly two-thirds of the world's population lost right now. And think about how the gospel has gone out, how it's going out, how it's being spread. Now, here's the sad part. Within Christianity, we say Christianity makes up 31.5% of the religions in the world. 31.5% of Christians of the world is under Christianity. Here's what that includes. That includes the Mormons. They're all lost. That includes all the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're all lost. Because all these goes under the umbrella of Christianity. Christian Science, all of them are lost. And there's others that I can't recall that goes under the umbrella of Christianity. But they're lost. Why? They reject Jesus, folks. They reject Jesus. When you reject Jesus, you don't have any hope. Jesus is the Savior, folks. And so, that comes down to churches like this. Churches throughout our community. Churches throughout our country. That includes the Catholics. God knows how many of them are still lost. I turn to listen to the Catholic channel sometimes just to check up what they're talking about. You know what they're mainly, every time I turn over to the Catholic channel, you know what they're talking about? Blessed be the Mary Virgin. Blessed be the Mary Virgin. I mean, that's all they talk about, just about it. And so when you get down to the nitty-gritty, folks, Jesus Christ our Lord said this, only a few's going to heaven. He said there's a broad road and many's on it. He said there's a narrow road. And what did he say about the narrow road? A few on it. And I think about the sufferings of Jesus Christ on the cross to save the world. And the world's going to hell. And only a few people are being saved. And serving the Lord. Knowing the Lord. Enjoying the Lord. How could God bless me to be raised in a country and a family and in a church that I would get to hear the truth about salvation? How blessed you are. You ought to be praising God that God let you hear the truth. That you were raised in a church that would hear the truth. That you didn't get caught up in a religion that's deceiving your soul out of hell. If you're saved today, you ought to really be praising God. Thanking God, loving God, trying to help get out the gospel of Jesus Christ, folks. So I'm talking about what is Christianity. Christianity Its founder was Jesus Christ. But many people can get caught up in Christianity and miss Jesus Christ just by having religion. Having religion. There's no hope in religion. The founder of Christianity died so I could be saved. The founder of Christianity left heaven. He left the bosom of the Father. He took on a human nature and a human body for the purpose of suffering on the cross. Because my sins were so ugly, so vile, so hateful to God, nothing would get rid of them but Jesus Christ died on the cross. Nothing else would get rid of them. Think about that. No other person could get rid of them. So God Himself had to come down to this world. God Himself had to come down Himself to this world to get rid of my sin. If He hadn't have did that, wouldn't I be in a predicament like most of the world is going to be? No other religion's founder, no other religion's founder, Buddhism, Hinduism, any kind of ism, ever died to pay for the follower's sins. No other founder of a religion. Only Jesus Christ died to pay for sin. And then got up out of the grave. Hallelujah. Amen. He got up. He said He was going to get up. And He got up. And I believe it. I believe it. I know what He did for me. He not only got up from the grave, He's defeated death. He's defeated death, folks. He's broke its power. And Satan now is a defeated foe. And he's been sentenced to the lake of fire. And one day he'll be cast in it. Amen. And if the Lord needs any help, I hope He'll let me help Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. He won't need any help. Amen. Praise the Lord. Christianity is the people who believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what real Christianity is. To be saved, you got to believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you don't believe that, you ain't saved. And you won't be saved. Because that is the gospel. And the gospel, the Bible says, is the power of God unto salvation unto them that believe. So properly speaking, Christianity is the people who believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a Savior, folks. What a Savior, folks. And the people of Christianity are to deny themselves, the Bible says. We don't like to get to that part, do we? The Bible says if you're a follower of Christ, you're to deny yourself, Raymond Ellis. And live for Jesus Christ. How much am I to live for Jesus Christ? On Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. No. You live for Jesus Christ 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's five basic things about Christianity we should know. I want you to listen carefully. You might want to write them down. First of all, five basic things. You got to trust Jesus and you should be baptized. Because we just read our text verse. He said, go and preach the gospel and baptize them. Why do you baptize? Why does the Lord want you to be baptized? What good is getting wet doing with being saved? Well, being baptized is a picture of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it shows our identification with Him. That's what it's about. You're witnessing to the world. You believe in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for your salvation. And you're to be baptized, and you're supposed to be a part of a Bible church. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what the Bible says. And then after we've trusted Christ, we're to join a Bible-believing church and be faithful. Be faithful. What does it mean to be faithful? It means unless you're in the bed, be at church. We're supposed to recognize that the church is the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1:1, the Bible says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. This is today, you would say, to the church at 5428 Highway 211 north of Lumberton, Country Bible Baptist. But Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus, our Lord, both theirs and ours. We're supposed to be in church, support the church. The book of Revelation in chapters 2 and 3 talks about the churches, seven churches. Jesus told about five of those churches that had problems. And Jesus said in Hebrews, one of the writers wrote in Hebrews 10:25, it's not really known who wrote the book of Hebrews. Some assume Paul. No one knows. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. The Lord's word says you're supposed to be in church on Sunday. I refused all my life to take a job on Sunday. Sunday's the Lord's day, folks. That's what's wrong with our country. I grew up in a country that on Sunday the stores was closed. We used to recognize the Lord's Day. I remember when on Wednesday night was recognized that people didn't schedule meetings. The doctor today tells me I got a doctor's appointment Wednesday evening. I said, no, I don't. It's another day. You ain't going to put me on keeping me out of church. The Lord comes first, folks. They'll change the date. Boy, they did their best over there to get me on another date. I said, listen, you put me on Friday. Now they know to go on Friday for Ellis when he goes in. You got to stand with what's right, folks. We've been saved. We're God's witnesses. We got to, as another basic thing, we got to learn is our income. We got to learn to tithe. Bring our offerings to the Lord's house, not to grandma's house. Someone asked me one time, is it all right if I give my money to grandma? No. You tithe to the Lord's house, folks. You can give grandma money. Yeah, you can help old grandma. She needs some glasses. But you don't give the Lord to grandma. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you, he didn't leave nobody out, did he? Every one of you. Lay by him in store. Make sure you got it laid out. What's going to be the Lord's? See, the Lord is the Lord, folks. He's our Lord. He's not just your Savior. The Lord is your Lord. Well, maybe when I was in the Army, that sergeant said, hey, I want you to do that. Yes, sir. Right now. Now the Lord has bought us. We belong to him. He said, upon the first day of the week, that's Sunday if you look on the calendar. Malachi wrote in 3, will a man rob God? God said, you've robbed me. But ye say, they argue back, wherein have we robbed thee? God said, in tithes and offerings. And you know what the result is? You're cursed with a curse, God said. I know a man today had enough money in the bank to choke a cow. He didn't go to church on Sunday. He went fishing. He went to the beach every Sunday. Every Sunday he went to the beach, took his boat, went to the beach fishing for years, years, years. Now his wife's laid in the hospital or in a rest home for several years. And they've drained every bit of his money. He ain't got nothing. You don't give God what he should have, God will get it another way. There's a lot of Christians miserable today because they rob God. Rob God. You can't give by. The Bible says you're cursed. You're cursed with a curse. Let me tell you something, folks. There's a God. There ain't but one God. There's God. And he made us to love him, serve him. And he says, now if you'll obey me, I'll bless you. And that's the book he gives us to live by. I'm not perfect. I mess up too. I can preach this because I know the first effects. Amen. Fourth thing, basic. Read your Bible and study your Bible. Bring your Bible to church. At least look like you're spiritual. Amen? Amen? We should read and study our Bibles. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. I see that Bible back there, buddy. I want to see that Bible next Sunday back there. Amen? Hey, and I want to see it open and you looking in it. Marking it up. Don't be afraid to mark up your Bible. Put some holy ink on them. Amen? Yeah. The Bible says study. Go from knowing where John 3:16 is at to other places. Boy, the more you know about the Bible, the more peace you have, the more joy you have, the more hope you have, the greater comfort you have. Oh, how blessed. You can't get a college education that's worth knowing this book. Hallelujah. Melissa, do that again. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. Fifthly, witness to others as often as you can. Try to get other people to come to church. Witness by the way you live yourself, first of all. You live right. I live right. Be nice to people. We ought to be nice to people, amen? The only people I'm not nice to is them on the phone that calls me all the time. Be nice. That's one thing we can do is be nice. I'm talking to you, preacher. The Bible says in 1 John 1 and verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, if I say I'm a Christian and I'm not living like it, I'm not going to help anybody know the Lord. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And do not the truth. That's what the Bible says. For if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if I live right, like he said to live, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. What a Savior, folks. Do you understand how serious it is to be a Christian? Being a Christian does not give you the freedom to do what you want to do. I just said, he's our Lord. He's our Lord. Yes, he's our Savior, but he's our Lord. In Luke 14:23, and the Lord said to his servant, go into the highways and the hedges, compel them to come in and that my house might be filled. Folks, I've invited a missionary to come. He's going to Thailand. He won't get here till maybe next year. He's trying to get things worked out, but I put him on a long schedule at his request next year. We don't know the date yet. He's going to Thailand. Boy, I need the gospel there. We're going to try to get people saved. Every way, any way we can that would please God, folks. This is why we have our radio ministry and our newsletter and our web page, our LED sign. I mean, we got all these things to try to get somebody's attention sometime. The church is the body of Christ in this world, and it's to be working and serving Jesus Christ. We're not to come out to be members of this church and come out here and just go home on Sunday and that's it. We've got to be Christians on the job. We've got to be Christians at Walmart's, amen? We've got to be Christians all the time. We'll be doing His will as recorded in the Word of God. And we're to be looking for Him to come any minute. And I expect the Lord every day. The way things are today, I look for the Lord every day. And I'm praying like John the Apostle prayed. Even so come, Lord Jesus. John prayed it 2,000 years ago. Why can't I pray it? Let's turn to one last passage and we close. Let's not forget what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, verse 16. And Simon Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but thy Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus Christ did not build His church on Peter. He built it on Himself. Jesus Christ is the rock, folks. He didn't build it on the Catholics either. Jesus Christ is the foundation the church is built on. He's the solid rock, the eternal rock. The rock of our salvation. Amen? And we need to remember this. That the church is the body of Christ in this world. Each of us has a body. You got eyes, ears, nose, hands, feet, etc. That makes up your body. And I saw the most pitiful sight last night. A man was born this way last night. He was on Huckabee. He didn't have an arm or any legs when he was born. And boy, is he blessed, isn't he, Brother Chavis?
He's got a message.
He's got a message, and God is using that guy. His arms was none, and his legs was no hips or anything. He was just a body there with a head on it. God, what a testimony. How God is using that guy. God bless him. Only God could do that, Brother Chavis.
Yes, sir.
Only God could do that. Folks, we have a body. And the church is the body of Christ. And all of us are members of that body. Just like you got a body with different members. God's got a body. His church. And we're different members. We're not all alike. We're different. Because God uses us different. To make the whole body function. Let's work together. Let's love together. Let's serve together. Let's look for the Lord together. Amen? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for the Word of God. Thank you for the Savior. Lord, bless that young guy we saw last night on Huckabee. Lord. God bless America somehow, Lord. Somehow bless our country that's forgot you, Lord. God, raise up people. Raise up the church to be the church. Loving the Lord and serving the Lord and being a blessing to the world. I pray in the Savior's precious, holy, saving name. Amen and amen. And may God speak to hearts today. The altar is open. You need to come for salvation. You're welcome. You need to come talk to the Lord about something in your life. Why don't you come? You want to come pray for somebody that needs salvation? Why don't you come?